was, but he'd connected something I hadn't. Or he better have, since he'd knocked me flat on my ass right into the pile of ash that had once been Chandra. I watched as Alden said something to the Fae and the demon. All three turned as one to look at me. I fought to get my breathing under control. The feel of his searing kiss still lingered upon my lips. It was burned into my memory. I turned and narrowed my eyes back at the three men, wondering what the fuck was going on. Alden was from the guild. My guild. He was the leader of the eastern section of Washington State. He'd basically been a father figure to the orphans that came to us, which had included me up until a few years ago when Adam, Larissa, and I had moved out of the guild complex into apartments of our own in the same building. Alden stood with his gentle blue eyes narrowed on me. His thick brown hair was streaked with gray, and instead of it making him look older as it should have, it made him look distinguished. He wore the guild leader's crimson robe over black slacks. He didn't look a day over 35, but I knew different. I still didn't trust my voice not to quiver from the effect the Fae had upon me. My insides still quivered with need for him, and only him. It burned me. My anger rose by the second. Even though I'd sent it away, it was one of the few ways an immortal could be killed outright. Bind his soul to a weak human and drag him to hell with you. Souls were tricky that way. You couldn't live with that one. You wouldn't want to, anyway.
Cynthia, listen to me closely, Alden said sternly, as if talking to a wayward child. You need to release him this instant. He's the fucking Dark Prince, for fuck's sake, girl. What the hell is wrong with you?
I digested his words. What was wrong with me? Alden, I growled, knowing what he was going to say next without needing the words. He said them anyway.
This was an interview. He wouldn't have hurt you.
I laughed, but it was cold, more pissed than happy.
An interview? They asked for the best, but they wanted to see you in action and to see your skills without you knowing. It was an interview.
Bile rose to the back of my throat as I stood, pushing myself off the ground, still only garbed in my unmentionables.
A fucking interview? Chandra's dead. I killed her, Alden. He tried to turn me. He freaking kissed me.
No harm was done, Cynthia.
I blinked at Alden. Hadn't he heard me?
Chandra is dead. As in, she is no more, Alden.
I replied slowly, enunciating every word. I wanted to make sure he couldn't miss the anger I felt or what I was telling him.
Yes, she is. Shame, but she was being tested as well. Cynthia, she was new to our guild. You know better than anyone that the guild rules must be kept. You were under the Dark Prince's powers, yet you refused to give up the information. She sang like a bird at the first chance she got to save her own skin. You did as you were taught, child. You did well.
I wanted to scream. I wanted to cry. I knew what I had to do, and it was neither of those things. I had to bury my dead. Chandra deserved to be given the rites. She deserved to go into the Fade, to be reborn. I turned and erected an invisible wall with what strength I had left, much to the horror of those around me who had no idea what I intended to do with the life of the Dark Prince still attached to my soul. It wasn't until I turned and smiled sadly at Adam that they knew what I was going to do and started to freak out. Alden rushed to the invisible barrier, while Ryder and his demon stood still as if afraid to move. I knew better. I was willing to bet there wasn't much Ryder was afraid of, not even dying.
You can't send her to the Fade. She turned on us.
Alden screamed, outraged that I would try to send her even though she had betrayed us. Try was the key word. I would take her death unto me. If I could manage to keep my mind from thinking it was happening in reality. I'd done it only once before. Not many had the balls to even attempt it, since the mind was a dangerous thing to play around in. I silently looked around the room, finding my target. A radio sat in the corner, turned off. I sent my magic flowing through the room to it, finding Creed's My Own Prison within its database, and turned it up. I bent down, kneeling upon the cement floor in front of the ashes. Adam tried to turn it off, but as the words flowed, he stopped. I could feel the weight of the stairs in the room burning into my flesh, heavy and unrelenting. I pulled a knife from the demon's boot without having to leave the sanctuary of the circle. Magic, swift and silent, pulled it inside and sealing the hole before anyone knew what had happened. I brought up the cold blade and cut my palms, slicing an X across both hands. The sting burned as flesh opened up in thin red lines to release the blood needed to complete her rites. I painted the sign of life and death on my torso, the sign of fear and courage on my cheeks, and then whispered the chant to bring life to the ashes. A small wind flowed through the room as I pulled myself up to meet Chandra's soul, as she came alive briefly. Her soul would need a host. I would become that host until I could release her soul. The soul gets lost without a host. It's why we take them in and release them with magic. Her hazel eyes opened as she stepped from the ashes. She had no voice, but it didn't keep her from trying to use it. Telling the dead they're actually dead is not always a bright idea. They tend to think they can be reanimated. Only necromancers can do it, and it doesn't always end well for the soul. She glared, and it might have been comical, except I'm the one who killed her, so technically, I'd hate me too. She smiled, but it was cold. Her brown curls rustled soundlessly as she laughed, though it was silent too. She noted Adam and Alden outside the sanctuary I cast to protect us from being disturbed. She tilted her head before accepting my offer to carry her. Pain erupted as she entered through the small cuts. Her soul was pulsing as it entered my own. I felt her inside of me, her animated soul fading as she entered my body. And then it came. I felt my lungs start to fill with fluid, blood. I was taking her death echo into my soul. My brain makes me experience it for myself, as if it was really happening to me. This is where it would get tricky. If my brain at any time thought it was actually happening, I would die. Adam pounded against the invisible barrier. He's yelling at me to remember. To remember it wasn't happening. And it wasn't. Not really. God, did it hurt. It wasn't supposed to hurt. It was supposed to be painless. She suffered because I'd lost focus. I felt her rage as she made the connections and then the bitterness of denial as she figured out it was me who had killed her. I could barely feel my own body at this point. I could feel the tears flowing down my face from the pain as my soul made room for her inside of it. My hands flew to my throat as oxygen was ripped and starved from my esophagus, and then I felt my lungs giving out. Chaos broke loose outside of the shield as the Dark Prince coughed and grabbed at his own throat. Our eyes met and held. If I died, he would die with me. He could feel my distress because I'd linked him to my lifeline, my soul. I would undo it when I was done gathering her soul and consuming my sin. He became enraged as he understood that. At that moment, he was as mortal as I was, and if I lost this battle, he would join me in death. I coughed and hit the floor at the same moment he did, our eyes still locked on one another, his in anger and mine in awe. Even choking, this asshole was hot. Seriously, someone needs to break his nose and make him a little less pretty. My mind cried out in mourning. Adam and Alden were both chanting, trying to take down the barrier. The demon was using his dark powers. Did they think I hadn't considered all this before I erected it? It was foolproof. I was that good. Seriously, sometimes I scared myself with just how badass I was. Ryder spat blood the same moment I did, and then it stopped.
He stood up as I did. I smiled coldly. He'd felt her pain. He'd felt mine. He had touched my fucking soul. He knew now that I was darker inside, that I had secrets of my own buried deep inside of me. I hated it. I wiped my mouth off with the back of my hand and moved my other hand, flicking my wrist to remove the barrier. Come, fairy. Let's get this over with. I wanted him out of me. His soul was slithering seductively against my own. Chapter 4. Clothed in my shorts and tank top once more, I grabbed his hands and met him face to face. His hands, surprisingly warm, gave me a sliver of remembrance of how his seductive touch felt on my skin. I placed them palm up, with my much smaller hands resting lightly on top. I was enjoying the anger flowing through him until he spoke.
If you ever connect us again, I will kill you, witch.
His voice was low, raspy. I raised my eyes to meet his head on. You ever try to fae-fuck me again, and I'll kill you, fairy.
I'll show you a fucking fairy. If I remember right, you wanted it.
I raised a blonde brow, which was probably red at the moment, since I was still covered in blood. You used the haze, which is basically rape.
Did I?
His voice purred, leaving it a statement more than a question. I growled, which only made his lips turn up in the corners, reminding me of the kisses we'd shared. I tried to push his essence out of me, but it was like it was locked inside a box inside my mind. I rolled my eyes and tried again as sweat beaded on my forehead.
It's not working.
Pretty and smart. Better alert the press. I replied sarcastically as I put everything inside of me into pushing his essence out of my body.
You think I'm pretty?
He asked incredulously, as if I'd just handed him the biggest insult of his life. I narrowed my eyes on him and bit my lower lip. I tried yet again to get his essence from mine while my legs shook. His hands landed on my waist before I fell. Pretty much, fairy. Maybe you should wear less makeup and add some scars. Toughen up that pretty boy image you got going on. I smirked, watching his jaw tick with anger. My eyes slid to his full mouth, remembering it and how it felt pressed against mine.
Sin, need a boost?
Adam asked me from where he stood a few feet away, trying to dispel the tension building inside the confines of the room. My body trembled violently. It was still adapting to the new soul inside of it. I winced as aches and pains made themselves known now that the adrenaline rush had passed. I just need a few minutes. I lied, not knowing if I would be able to give him back what I had stolen from him. No sooner had I said it, when my legs gave in against my weight. Ryder caught me before I landed on my ass on the floor at his feet and carried me to a couch. We'd left the torture room and entered what appeared to be an unused office. It was drab and barren of any personal items. Whitewashed walls and matching white carpets, the only object inside the room being a single black couch that wrapped around two walls.
Sit down and do not touch anything,
Ryder ordered as he dropped me none too gently on the couch. What the hell would I touch? I crouched back, feeling bitchy about needing to be carried at all, much less by him, of all people. He looked down his nose at me, and then at his hands as if I had stained them. I laughed. His eyes narrowed.
You were not laughing a little while ago. Shall I remind you of where you wanted me?
He looked down at my black, skin-tight shorts as if he could tell by scent that I was still having him dance around in my inappropriate thoughts. You screwed with my mind, and I resisted you, I said, allowing my lips to turn up in one corner before gently biting my lip and wincing. Oh yeah, I'd bitten it hard. Ouch.
Keep lipping off, and I'll find a use for that tongue.
Keep dreaming, man-whore. He made a disgruntled sound, but I was too tired to care. My body felt drained. My mind kept replaying his damn lips pressed against mine, and Chandra? Poor Chandra had died for this guy's stupid interview.
I don't need to dream about fucking. If I wanted you, witch, you'd be mine.
He growled heatedly, his voice rough. I glared back. I was tired of everything that was going on in this place. However, I knew I wasn't walking out those doors until I could fix this. The noise coming from the hallway drew me from my irate inner thoughts and back to Adam, who came through the door with steaming hot coffee. I accepted it carefully, noting how my hands shook as I reached for it. After a few minutes of intense silence, Alden walked in, his eyes sharp as a predator's as he took us all in. "Any luck yet?" His voice's sharp, angry tone made me want to slap him. It was one of the first things we learned in training. Never argue with an elder, or any witch for that matter, in front of someone from outside the guild. I shook my head and indulged in a long drink of the rich, hot nectar. The room once again grew silent, until I set the cup aside on the floor, since there wasn't a table or anything to place it on. "Let's give it another shot," I whispered, noting Alden was watching the two of us very closely. I stood up slowly and stepped closer to the dark and seductive Fae Prince, my hands coming out from my sides to hold his. It would have been a hell of a lot easier if I didn't have to touch him to complete the transfer. His hands were warm and soft, as if he'd never seen or endured a hard day's work in his life. His fingers curled around my own, sending heat raging through every part of my sex-starved tissue. I raised my eyes, meeting him head-on, even though I had to look up to do so. I watched his lips curve wickedly. Those eyes of his were glowing bronze fire, as if he felt the same intensity I did. The spell shouldn't have been cast. If I had known I wasn't going to be killed, I wouldn't have used it. I exhaled slowly, feeling his strength combine with my own as he pulled his soul essence from my body. It caressed me from the inside, touching, testing as it flowed through me and reattached to him. His eyes smiled mischievously, as if he was commanding it to do so. Heat flowed through me, and his hands offered more support as my legs trembled once more with the need to come. He watched my face hungrily, intensely, as I felt even more moisture pooling at my junction and saturating my panties. His soul was fucking me from the inside, and it was intensely seductive and powerful. The minute I felt the last of his essence leaving my body, I pulled away, as if his touch was scorching my flesh. I wiped his touch off on the tank top I wore and turned to Alden on shaky legs, ignoring the husky laugh from the dark seduction behind me. "It's done." Alden wasn't looking at me, though. He was looking over my shoulder to the prince. "Whatever. I just wanted to go home, curl up in my bed and sleep for a week. Maybe indulge in a few buckets of Ben and Jerry's ice cream."
"Sit, Cynthia. We have business to discuss."
Alden growled, as if he was upset with me. Nothing new there. I sat, not because he had told me to, but because my legs wouldn't stop shaking with need and lust. Much to my utter horror, Ryder sat beside me, way too close for my state of mind.
"Talk.
The prince has a job for you,"
Alden said without any emotion on his face.
"No."
"No?"
Three voices asked as one. Alden, Ryder, and the damn demon who had just walked back in. "Need a dictionary to figure the word out, boys?" I offered lamely. Alden pinched the bridge of his nose in annoyance.
"This isn't a would you. It's a you're going to, Cynthia."
I smiled coldly. "Well then, why didn't you just say so to begin with, Alden? And what if I flat out refuse? Besides, with my past history being what it is, You sure you want me working with them?
Then you will receive a mark, and it won't bode well for your coven for refusing a direct order. Past history aside, Cynthia, this is something you will do.
I growled. Adam, who was swallowing a sip of his own coffee, spit it out and cussed.
Sin,
Adam warned with stark fear in his eyes. I swallowed past the swelling in my throat. What's the job?
Impersonating the light heir at the engagement ball,
the demon said smoothly, as if I hadn't just been threatened yet again today. I think I'd prefer death. Besides, Alden, that's a waste of my talents, and you know it, I snapped. Impersonator? I was not a freaking impersonator. I was one of the best enforcers in the entire state of Washington. And don't even get me started on the jobs requiring my skills as an assassin.
Enough. Do you know why no one else has asked to join your coven, Cynthia? Because they're afraid you'll get them killed like everyone else you grow attached to. If anyone gets too close to you, they die. Adam stays beside you, because he knows if he doesn't, you'll probably get marked and become an easy target. Damn it, girl. You know what happens when you've been marked.
Ouch. That was going to leave a bruise on my ego? My eyes swung to Adam, who wouldn't meet them.
Adam?
Sin, he said carefully, as if he didn't want to go there in front of our present company. Fine. I'll impersonate her.
It's not just impersonating. That is only part of what we want you for. You will be told the rest later on,
Ryder said.
I was informed you could cloak your appearance and take that of another so well that it would be completely undetectable.
I officially wanted to scalp Alden, Indian style. I just needed a really cool doeskin skirt and a very sharp knife to do so. I nodded. It was the only confirmation he was getting out of me. They all looked at me expectantly. I looked back at them, bored already. Alden spoke first, after a few moments of silence.
Change.
It doesn't work like that. I've never seen her before. I snapped with exhaustion showing in my tone. Can't turn into someone I've never seen before.
Riston.
Ryder raised an eyebrow. I chewed my lips while Ryder dusted off an invisible piece of lint from his jeans. The demon materialized a tabloid with a picture of a blonde beauty on the cover. The two would have cute kids together. I studied every detail I could see and memorized it. I straightened up and pulled the glamour around me from head to toe. A small sliver of magical current shimmered over my skin, rippling in the air around me. I looked down, taking in the tight jeans and designer top she had been wearing in the photograph, which were now on me.
That is incredible,
Riston said with wonder in his voice.
She didn't change,
Ryder said, narrowing his eyes on me with close inspection that I felt all the way to my OPI paint your torn toes rose.
She looks just like her,
Alden replied, stepping closer, unaware of the death wish I had for him at the moment. I felt a moment of panic. No one had ever seen through the glamour spell before. Not even my friends.
What do you see then?
I asked, narrowing my own eyes to mirror his.
You.
He spat angrily, and it had never sounded more like an insult. Sorry to disappoint you. I guess I'm not up for the task at hand.
If they see you as Ariana, then it doesn't matter what I see. The assassins will mistake you for her as well.
Ryder sneered. I almost choked on my own tongue. Assassins? Now they tell me this? Everyone in the room ignored me, and the three men started discussing me as if I wasn't even there. It felt as if something bigger was going on here, something that wasn't being said to me or Adam. More fey bullshit. Games within games.
She looks exactly like her,
Riston said excitedly.
But will it hold up against other Fae? Or is it only me who can see her true form? He didn't have long to wait for an answer. The door opened, and the tall, dark, kiss-me lips I'd been about to make out with walked in.
Next time, brother, a little heads up would be nice.
He stopped, turning to look directly at me and bowed low at his waist.
Ariana, I wasn't aware you would be joining us today.
I rolled my eyes and looked back at Ryder, who was grinning mischievously now. I bit my bottom lip under his penetrating gaze.
Dristan, do you see anything off about Ariana today?
He asked carefully. Dristan stopped and narrowed his eyes, his head tilting to the side slightly.
Am I supposed to see something different?
Good.
Now about letting that little wraith of a witch seduce you. Don't do it again. Is the ball still on schedule as planned?
Ryder asked. I let the glamour fade, since it took energy I didn't have to keep up. The moment I did, Dristan cussed and threw a left hook. I ducked, barely avoiding it, and dropped like a sack of potatoes, then came up behind him.
You bitch,
he snarled, angry with my appearance. So I've been told. Do try not to attack me again, I said coldly.
You fucking drugged me.
I ducked his second punch and landed a solid kick in his side before Ryder pushed me away, none too gently, causing me to hit the wall hard. The wind left my lungs violently as I landed on my ass at his feet.
Enough, Dristan. Sin will be working with us. Put this stupid bitch in her place, Ryder. Her kind needs to be reminded of where they belong.
Dristan snarled. I said nothing. I wasn't afraid he would do it. I was just tired of hearing dire predictions about my immediate future today. I lowered my head and remained silent as the room grew tense once more. I hurt everywhere. My ego was bruised that I had been caught. I'd killed one of the only witches who had wanted to join my coven, and I'd played kissy face with a freaking fairy.
What? No snappy comment?
Ryder asked. Are we done here? I asked after a short pause.
For today, yes, we are. You will be here at 7 tomorrow morning. Wear something appropriate to train in. We only have a short time to teach you what a fae princess should act like, and from the looks of it, it's going to take a lot more time than we have.
Chapter 5. Adam and I left the Dark Fortress as fast as our feet would take us, both refusing to speak of what had happened inside. I'd had enough shit for one day. I'd known why the two had stayed with me, but hearing it out loud was a reality check. I was going to be covered in bruises from head to toe come morning when I had to face his hind ass again, and I wasn't looking forward to it at all. I'd rather face an angry mob of witch-haters than face him again.
Sin.
Not now, Adam. It is fine, I snapped, hurt over the entire mishap. I'd killed today, and while everyone else thought it was okay, I had to live with it forever. They could pretend it didn't happen. Me, on the other hand, I had her soul inside of me. On top of that, I'd basically been dry-humping the Dark Prince, and it was not something I wanted to talk about. We walked into our apartment building in deafening silence. I couldn't bring myself to say more than, "I'm fine." I'd grown up with Adam and Larissa. They were the closest thing to family I had. It hurt to hear that they only stayed beside me because of it. But what hurt the most was that Adam had stayed in the coven instead of moving on to study Warcraft as he wanted to. That knowledge sat heavily on my heart. He'd wanted to be more than just a tech guy for me, but he'd stayed because I was reckless and a loose cannon. Okay, that was a little harsh. I wasn't a loose cannon. I just didn't take shit from anyone.
Sin, we need to talk about this,
Adam said as we entered the ancient elevator to go to our floor.
It creaked loudly, and just as I was afraid I would be stuck dealing with the problem of the truth, the alarm went off. Sorry, I just can't deal with this and the prince in one day, Adam. I need to go in and check on Larissa anyway. See you tomorrow? I mumbled, already heading out of the elevator, back into the stark white, dreary lobby.
Don't you have to meet up with Pretty Boy tomorrow?
I groaned loudly. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I opened the door to the apartment and checked the safeguard spell before tossing my keys onto the coffee table and heading into the kitchen. Honey, I'm home, I mumbled, inhaling deeply the aroma of something divine. Larissa could cook like nobody's business and did often. My stomach chose that moment to make its needs known. The smell of freshly baked bread lingered inside the room. Larissa must have been baking while we endured the fae. Larissa lifted her sparkling green eyes and smiled.
You're alive.
I exhaled and threw my limp form into the small wooden chair next to the little nook table we bought secondhand. Barely. You almost inherited my entire OPI collection today.
Seriously? How bad was it?
She asked, limping to the sink to wash the jar out before tossing it into the recycle bin. She tossed her chestnut brown hair over her shoulder and turned to me with a curious look on her beautiful face. I killed Chandra today, I blurted. Shit, I really needed to get a filter for my mouth. I watched as Larissa's eyes grew wide in horror. I chewed my lip nervously as she digested the news.
Was it within sanction?
Her question caught me by surprise. It was sickening how easily most of us could kill one another, but not me. I took the death in and beat the crap out of myself over it, sanctioned or not. Taking another person's life should never be easy. It was. We got caught. They had Adam, and I was chained to a wall. The Fae Prince never left the building. Instead, he was inside the vault when I opened it. We were drilled for information, and she was going to spill the beans. It was a setup, though. Alden set the entire thing up. Larissa exhaled and shook her head, her eyes flooding with guilt. But then you knew that, didn't you? My stomach clenched from the knowledge. How could she have known and not told me? The desire to eat was suddenly gone. I closed my eyes before pushing off the small table and standing up. I entered my room in a daze. Had Adam known? No, no. He'd been just as distraught as I'd been. I wanted to cry, to scream at those who could have stopped what I had done. I'd taken a fucking life. I walked to the small cherry wood dresser I'd brought from the guild and tried to find something clean to wear to bed, but gave up with a sigh when I found the drawer empty. I missed the guild's laundress. It beat doing my own laundry any day. I could still smell sulfur and ash on my skin. And Faye. The bathroom was an ugly olive green from the 70s, but at least the water worked. Who cared what it looked like? Rent was cheap, and unlike the other places that we could afford, this one was close to the guild. I turned the water on, watching the steam curl around to lick my skin gently. Beads of condensation formed on my hand. I closed my eyes, but the instant I closed them, all I could see was a devastatingly primal pair of golden eyes. It was like he was watching me, as if the Fae Prince was sitting inside my bathroom. I instantly opened my eyes and started to strip down to nothing. It didn't take much. He trashed most of my clothes, and in my haste to redress, I only ripped them more. The entire walk home had been one of shame. I sank into the water, letting a blissful sigh steal from my kiss-swollen lips. Freaking Faye had made them puffy, and I'd be damned if I hadn't enjoyed it. Sparks had flown from his touch. The fire he'd created inside of me, and the things I'd felt were dangerous and exciting. It was why they were considered the most deadly of the other world. They could make you like it as they fucked you to death. I let my nose sink beneath the water, holding my breath as the heat from the bath blistered across my lips, hoping it would erase his taste and touch. Only it didn't. The moment I popped back up, I could still feel it. The heat from his kiss, his overly seductive mouth, and his erotic taste. My traitorous body wanted more, but my mind wanted him dead. I quickly washed, ignoring the darkness of the dimly lit bathroom and ugly green walls. After I was done scrubbing my skin raw to get his touch from my skin, still unsuccessfully, I growled and got out. I looked in the mirror and noticed I was bruised below one eye, more than likely from fighting against him. Thankfully, I healed quickly. It was some sort of running joke within the guild that Adam and I should have been brother and sister in truth, as we healed much faster than the others. My azure blue eyes were too bright from using magic. My normally platinum blonde hair was a few shades darker when wet, making my skin look pasty white. It wasn't as if I had a lot of spare time for tanning, though. My spare time was used for reading, so I could escape from reality for however much time I could. It was never enough, in my opinion. I turned while wrapping the towel around my body and picking up my clothes to discard them in the trash. I groaned, frustrated with how today turned out. I killed a fellow guild member. Sure, I passed their sick little fucked up test, but I didn't want the job. I hated the Fae, and everything about them stunk in my book. I wanted nothing to do with them. I left the bathroom, ignoring Adam as he entered the small apartment. I left Larissa to deal with him, since all I wanted to do was sleep and forget. Tomorrow, I had a job to lose. Chapter 6. I awoke to a disturbance. Something was inside my room. I pulled the eye cover I slept with off my face and screamed. Golden eyes looked over at me from the other side of the bed. "Get the fuck out of my bed!" I hissed, sitting up before remembering I'd fallen asleep naked.
"You're late. I do not accept tardiness, Cynthia."
"Fire me, please," I grumbled, trying to pull the covers from beneath him to wrap myself up for modesty's sake. It was like tugging a blanket from beneath a solid boulder. "You mind?" I asked after a moment, noticing there was no way to get up without him seeing me in the buff. He sat up, resting his long frame on the duvet. His eyes flicked over the top of my breasts, where I had been unable to move the blanket to cover them, lingering a brief second before he stood and moved to look out the only window inside my room.
"Stunning view,"
he said after a quick inspection of the building across from our own. Yeah, it was crappy, but again, rent was cheap. It was something he had probably never seen. Rich boys had way better views. He kept his back to me, and I studied it briefly. His suit was black and hugged his form well enough that I could just make out every muscle in his ass. He turned, those damn disturbing eyes smiling as if he had followed where my mind had gone. I glared as I finally managed to bring the covers up far enough to cover myself. I wanted to pull it over my head completely and die from suffocation, which would be better than working for him.
"My car is waiting downstairs. You have exactly 10 minutes to be ready and inside it, or I will be back up to dress you myself. I do not like to be kept waiting, nor will I stand for you to be late again."
I raised my brow line and allowed my lips to curve into a small smirk. "You think you could, fairy boy?" I was off the bed and on the floor, covered in 6 feet of fae before I finished talking. My head hit the floor with a jarring thud that made my eyes explode with tears. His hands held mine above my head. My body was pressed against the rough carpet by his much larger frame. Lust, thick and dangerous, erupted inside of my core despite the ache in my skull.
"Never challenge me. I promise that you will lose. Every fucking time."
"Get off me," I shouted. I was trapped and exposed. His knee was pressed against my naked heat as if to show me just how fully exposed I was.
"Think you can make me?"
he challenged, his mouth entirely too close to my own. Images of last night came rushing back with a vengeance. My core grew slick with want, and it had little to do with his magic, and more to do with my need to be filled.
"Now!"
I yelled, tired of whatever game he was playing. I wasn't stupid. I got that he was higher in the immortal food chain than I was.
"All bark and no bite?"
he asked, raising his eyes from where they'd been focused on my mouth. I struck when his eyes met mine, sending my hips bucking against him, using the element of surprise against him, but it was futile. Ryder just ground his knee further in, making pain and pleasure pulse through my junction as he effortlessly held my arms in place.
"By all means, fight me,"
he purred, fire lighting up his amber eyes until I could see them pulsing, thousands of stars locked in their fiery depths. His nostrils flared, and his tongue jutted out to lick his lips, as if he was considering kissing me. I was pissed. Anger pulsed, rushing through my veins as surely as a fire through a dry forest. Not to mention I had zero possibility of getting up without him seeing me naked. I think he realized it at the exact moment I did, if his cocky grin was anything to go off of. He started to sit up, but I pulled him back down the moment he released his vice-like hold on my arms.
"Don't even think of it, fairy boy,"
I warned.
"You want me, don't you?"
he asked as his eyes latched onto my lips, encouraged by my seemingly sudden change of mind. I pushed him up, making damn sure I went with him.
"Dream on," I growled. "I don't fuck witches, so if you..."
I pushed him up to his feet, pushing off of the floor with my bare feet, never allowing my eyes to leave his. My breasts were pressed against the softness of his suit jacket, my legs inches from his. I walked him backward, and he allowed it. I inched him further back, and he kept eye contact right up until the point where I reached behind him slowly, surely, allowing my hands to caress him softly but firmly. Then I reached for the doorknob behind him. I quickly pulled it open and enjoyed his look of shock as I pushed him out of my room, managing to keep him from seeing my nether region at all in the process. I smiled frostily at the door and the cussing Fae behind it. "I don't fuck fairies, so at least we agree on that subject, pretty boy." I thought I heard a soft laugh, but I couldn't be sure.
10 minutes, Cynthia, or I come back in and drag you out,"
he growled through the door, making it quiver as much as I was. And it was solid oak. I listened to his shoes as they thudded down the hallway, and my beating heart didn't calm until I heard the door close behind him on his way out. How the hell had he gotten through the protection spell enveloping my room? I looked up at the incantation spell and narrowed my eyes, glaring at it for turning traitor. It was written on my ceiling in white ink, so it was invisible to the naked eye and intruders. It was supposed to keep creatures like him out and away from me while I slept. It had failed, just as I had done for the second time where that freaking fairy was concerned. I replayed his shocked image in my mind a few times before putting on a silk robe and grabbing a few items of clothing to take with me to the shower. I was smiling as I opened my bedroom door and ran right into the solid chest of the Dark Prince. Hard. I flew backward and landed flat on my ass at his feet. I looked up and glared angrily at him.
"Payback is a bitch. I don't fuck around, little girl. Remember that."
"Cocky much?" I barked, already standing back up so he didn't have as much of an advantage as he did with me being flat on my ass.
"Self-assured. I always win,"
he replied with lips too full and too fucking kissable for his own good. I pushed past his body and headed toward the bathroom, dismissing him completely from my mind. Okay, so I tried to anyway. He was the most beautiful, exquisite creature I had ever laid eyes on. Also the most deadly, which I was humming inside my head to keep the hormones at bay. Not that it helped me any.
10 minutes. If you're not out by then, I will dress you myself.
He growled deep in his chest to drive his point home. It sent shivers racing down my spine. I shut the bathroom door in his face and leaned against it, catching my breath. The man was incorrigible. What the hell was he doing inside my house? Larissa was going to hear it from me if she had allowed him inside. Didn't she sense how deadly he was? I was pretty sure she wouldn't have allowed him inside my bedroom, unless he'd fucked her funny. No, he wouldn't have done that. Would he? I shook my head. He needed my help. Touching my friends wouldn't achieve that. She was probably off his radar for now. I dropped my clothes and rushed beneath the water, quickly washing my hair before jumping back out to toss it up in a quick ponytail, apply some lipstick and a touch of blush.
2 minutes,
he said from behind the door. Seriously? Was he sitting with his damn ear against the wood? I slipped into a black satin thong and matching bra and quickly pulled up the low-rise jeans I'd chosen before slipping on the tight black sleeveless shirt in a hurry. I took a quick peek in the mirror and opened the door. His eyes raked down my body with a hint of disgust in their golden depths. But he remained silent. I followed him down the hallway and to the front door, stopping only to look at a note from Larissa. She'd gone shopping. Figures. I was paying the rent and Miss Shopaholic was out shopping, which meant she better be bringing home coffee.
Problem?
Ryder asked when I didn't move fast enough for his highness. How the hell did you get inside my house? I asked as I closed the door. We headed to the elevator. His only reply was a cocky grin, which left my question still burning inside my head. The elevator was waiting on my floor with the doors open, so we didn't have to waste time waiting for it. I stepped in and felt the pressure as it shut me inside firmly with the dark prince. I'm not normally one to fidget when nervous or uncomfortable, but standing next to 6+ feet of pure masculine grade A alpha male, I was so frigging fidgeting. My hands fisted and relaxed, only to fist right back up again. I chewed nervously on my bottom lip, my eyes plastered to the floor. The silence was deafening, bad enough that I suddenly wished we had some corny elevator music. I could feel the sizzle of his power more now that I was shut in a tight space alone with him. When the doors opened to let us out, I gave a loud sigh of relief. If he noticed, he said nothing. His car was a Lamborghini Aventador LP700-4, orange in color. I whistled and just stood gaping at it for a moment before a subtle cough pulled me back from making love to the car with my eyeballs. His eyes went from mine back to the car and back again.
"Try not to drool on the upholstery," he said.
I was going to have to touch everything inside of it just to piss him off now. I watched the door rise with a soft smile on my lips. I'd never been in a car that cost as much as this one did. Hell, I had never actually seen one in person until now. "How fast does this thing go?" I asked, unable to stop myself. The leather seats were black and soft as sin. I noticed as I slid inside and my skin rubbed the leather.
"Fast enough."
I met his golden eyes and narrowed my own. "But you've never taken it past the speed limits?" He said nothing. He wasn't rattled or moved by my goading. Damn. I wanted him to let loose and floor it. Instead, he slowly pulled out into the light traffic of downtown Spokane. You would think that he, being Faye, would let loose and break pretty much every law that the human race had. I reached over, making sure my hand stayed far enough away from his leg as I turned on his stereo. Godsmack's "I Stand Alone" blared, rattling the windows of the expensive car. I don't know what I had been expecting him to have in, but it wasn't that. He turned his head slowly, inhumanly. His eyes glowed iridescent amber as he warned me. I swallowed to keep myself from gasping audibly.
"Do not touch anything.
His tone rumbled barely above a whisper. Okay, then. I jerked my hands back and then folded them on my jeans, wishing I'd brought a jacket or something since he'd turned the air conditioning on when we'd gotten in. I was watching traffic, right up until the point that I could feel his eyes bearing down on me. I looked over at him, his eyes still doing that glow thing, lowered down at something beneath my face. I looked down and blushed from head to toe. My nipples were straining against the thin shirt and completely visible due to the air conditioning. I crossed my arms and held my tongue. Not having caffeine running through my veins was sorely testing my temper. His lips quirked up, and then he was once again watching the road. We drove with the music off now. I didn't want a repeat of the earlier performance. I thought the elevator was bad, but this was 10 times worse. I could actually feel his strength and power pulsing against my skin. It was like standing next to a transformer with the power on full capacity. "Where are we going?" I asked after the silence had gotten to be too much.
"This way,"
he replied without turning his head. "Do you ever speak more than 4 words, or do you lack the brains to?" I asked after another few moments of the blistering silence. He ignored me. "Seriously." We hit the highway, and he floored it. The motor hummed, and I smiled. I was pressed back against the cool leather seat, my hands instantly going to it for balance as if it would help. I sat like that, listening to the motor until I looked back over at him. The smile left my face instantly. "Stop looking at my boobs," I said more sharply than I wanted to.
"I don't play with my food,"
he said calmly.
"I am not your food," I said through clenched teeth.
"If I wanted you, that fucking spell on your neck would do little to stop it from happening. I can assure you of that."
My hand flew up to the back of my neck, and my fingers trailed over the white ink that was invisible to the naked eye.
"How did you know it was there?"
I asked. Uncertain, I wanted the answer.
"I watched you sleep,"
he replied, unamused or affected by my surprise at his words, surprise that showed all over my face, I was sure. He turned his head and stared directly at me as his foot pressed down further on the gas pedal, pushing the speed even faster on the deserted highway. Disturbing. He had actually watched me sleep, and I hadn't even noticed he was inside my bedroom. The word "inside the bedroom" should have stopped anyone not marked as one of our group. The one for the apartment was only to ward or restrain anyone intent on harming us. Still, it set my nerves to fried just thinking about how long he'd been inside my room. And I'd been naked since I'd gone to bed too tired to care. The car decelerated and started pulling off the highway, which caused my attention to jump back to where I was and who I was with. There was nothing but pine trees on both sides of the highway. As far as I could see, the road was still deserted, but he pulled off anyway onto the soft shoulder. "If you brought me all this way just to drop me off in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, think again," I warned, irritated that we'd stopped.
"Get out of the car. We need to discuss some things before we hit Darklands."
Darklands? No freaking way. The Psy Darklands was an exclusive invitation-only club owned by Mr. Hinass himself. I wasn't somewhere I'd ever wanted to go either. I fumbled at the door, but he was out and around the car with that freaky face super speed before I could continue to fumble for more than a second. The door was lifted, and I glared up into his beautifully etched face. I stood, smoothing out invisible lines for my jeans, and waited, but for what, I had no clue. When he stepped closer to me, I stepped back, only to fall on my ass inside the car at an awkward angle. He grinned, amused.
"They told me you were one of their best. I'm beginning to think they lied,"
he growled, now unamused with my reaction. "They told me you were taller. Guess they lied to me, too." I instantly regretted saying it because it was a lame thing to say. I stood up again, my hands fisted at my sides, frustrated with my own nervous reaction to him. I need to put my scent on you, Cynthia. His evil little smirk came back. Excuse me? Is that some lame-ass fey joke? I cringed. My club is invitation only, he said, as if I didn't already know that. Everyone knew that. And?
And you are either owned or food. So if you want to take your chances and come in as a free agent, be my guest. But those who come in unclaimed are unprotected.
Which means, I asked, already twirling the implications of that inside my overactive mind.
Which means, if another fae claimed you, he could make you his bitch.
His voice lowered on the last word. And if I allow you to claim me, then I'm your bitch. I wasn't doing this. I hated the fae. They used humans as food, and while a lot of other creatures did as well, his kind could leave a shell behind of whomever they fucked.
You work for me, Cynthia. You are already my bitch.
He replied coldly, deadly. Chills ran over my skin and my heart sunk to meet my toes in the dirt I stood on. I am not your any fucking thing.
You will be,
he said, with an air of confidence that only pissed me off more. You wish. I won't sleep with you, period. If I wanted dick, I'd take it, and yours is so not on the list of dicks I'd take, buddy.
If I wanted you, witch, you'd crawl to me, begging for release.
He stopped talking, his eyes doing that fae-fuck-glow thing again. And then I was on my knees awaiting his next command. He could have forced me to crawl, but instead he watched me as I waited on my knees for his next words. Stop it! I shouted, even as I pushed my ass out and up for him. My skin was afire with need. My sex grew moist and ready for him. I wanted to crawl into the fetal position and cry. I wanted to get up off the cold ground and smash his pretty fucking face.
Beg me.
He purred, his arms folded over his massive chest as he watched me continue to kneel in front of him as he stood leaning against the car.
Are you wet for me? I could make you show me just how wet you are. I could make you do a lot of things right now if I wanted to. I won't, but know that I can do this at any time. So can those inside the club we're going into. So make a decision. Go as my property, or take your chances with those who would take you by any means necessary. I won't babysit you. I just figured you might care who fucks you.
I growled angrily, my hands biting into the sharp rocks on the ground while hips spread. My hips actually spread wide with fuck-me-hard vibes coming out in heated waves. I could feel the moisture pooling between my thighs, and my nipples were hard and in need of his mouth. I wasn't feeling this. It was his fae-fuck mind game. I knew that. But the heat was too much. I ache. It came out husky and filled with the need he had created. He said nothing. He did nothing. He just watched me silently as my hips gyrated with a mind of their own. Please, I cried. Not from fear, but from a need so hot and fucking raw that at that moment in time, under his influence, under his power, I'd let him drive himself into my body just to make it stop.
Touch yourself for me, Sen,
he said roughly, sending my pulse soaring. I ground my teeth together, a strangled noise tearing from my throat as I rose up higher on my knees, unable to stop myself from doing what he had said. I knew the fae could use compulsion, and even worse, they could use it to do this. Make you crawl in the dirt like some fucking dog with no more than a single heated look. He was able to override the tattoo and control me. I glared up at him, or tried. My eyes had slanted, filling with lust for him. His were no longer on my face, but on my hand that was now cupping and stroking my junction through the rough jean fabric. I wanted to die as I moaned, the storm building inside of me demanding to be released, demanding he remove my hand and replace it with his own, more skillful touch.
So have you made a choice, or shall I make it for you? I could always use a snack.
He replied seductively low, his tongue coming out to lick his full lips as his eyes searched and locked with mine. Fine, just make it stop. I winced as my voice, which was weak, filled with heat and a roughness that bruised my pride.
Stand up,
he ordered, and my traitorous legs obeyed him instantly, as if they belonged to him.
I have to touch you.
His head tilted as his nostrils flared.
To mark you as my own.
As my own. I hated it. I was being reduced to nothing. My bones felt like heated putty. My blood was flowing in a heated rush to parts that I had left neglected since Adrian. I hadn't been laid in so long I couldn't even remember how long it had actually been. I watched him slide forward, his eyes intense and still piercing me with his glow. I wanted to step back, needed to, but all I could manage to do was arc my flipping hips. My body strained for his touch, anticipated it, begged for it.
Are you wet?
He whispered softly, his lips touching against my ear as he pulled my body flush against his.
I hardly use sexual incantation in my words or instructions. Does it piss you off how easily you are mine? How you can only obey my command if I choose it?
He smiled. I wanted to scream at him, but the most I could manage was an explosive yes to his question. His hands reached out, removing my own that had continued to stroke where the wetness was now visible through the jeans I wore. He held my hand in his much bigger one as it continued to move. I thought he would drop it, but instead he brought it up and held it to his nose, inhaling deeply for a few seconds as a deep blush stole up my body to flood my cheeks. He drew my scent in before his lips moved down to my flesh and softly touched my palm. His heated breath made me growl, my need from deep inside my chest.
You smell good, witch.
I moved closer to him, even though it wasn't the direction I wanted to go.
Tell me to fuck you. Tell me to fuck you until you come.
My lips quivered, but as much as I despised myself for weakness, I said it. Fuck me, please. I ache. Make it stop. Oh God, just make it stop, please. Another violent moan exploded as soon as the words were out. He moved closer, finally dropping my hand as his body closed the distance and pressed against mine, hard.
You hate this, but you need to know your place and what can happen if you forget it inside my club. There's a reason no one challenges me. Next time you want to push my buttons, remember this,
he said, pressing a magnificent erection against my navel.
Next time, I will take you. Because you want me, and we both know it, don't we? My influence only goes so deep, and then your human nature to mate steps in. I don't play games, nor do I take shit from anyone. I take what I want. I don't fuck around. If you play with me, well, I will play with you, and it will be for keeps. Next time you won't get a warning.
I said nothing. It felt as if by speaking, I would violate him. Crazy, I know, but whatever spell I was under, be it compulsion or something worse, was making it impossible to say anything besides what he wanted to hear from me, which sucked because I had so many comments to throw in his face. His free hand came up, grasping my chin between his fingers as he tipped it up until I was looking into those dangerous, endless, fiery pits. He leaned in closer to me at the exact same moment his other hand applied pressure against the fire he had started in my core. I felt sparks ignite from his touch as his mouth claimed mine gently but firmly, tasting me softly. His mouth went from soft to forceful as his teeth grazed against my lips, demanding more, demanding I open for his pleasure. I was lost, I opened for him, giving him back what he wanted, what he demanded. The combination was overwhelming. His slight pressure, combined with his kiss, made the storm intensify until my legs quivered and refused to hold my weight any longer. I didn't fall as far as I thought I would. Instead, his leg was there to catch me, his hands pushing back against the cold metal frame of the car while he stroked me.